Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Weekend Nigeria on Spirit of Nigeria Radio, positive Nigerian energy, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. And it's the interview segment on The Shift today. And today we're speaking with Princess Adeyinka Tekina. She's the CEO of Happy Coffee Nigeria. Her profile reads thus: Princess Adeyinka Tekina is the founder of one of Nigeria's premier indigenous coffee franchises, Happy Coffee, and a recipient of the Tony Elumelu Entrepreneurs Foundation Award, also the convener of the Lagos Coffee Festival. Adeyinka is a Bachelor of Arts graduate with high honors from the prestigious Harold Washington University, Chicago. She also went ahead to acquire a business management degree from the University of Phoenix. Her career has transversed government, charity, and business development. A life member of the Phi Theta Kappa Honors Roll Call and Dean's List, she serves as an advisory member of Apple of All Nations Nigeria and UK, a charity for the needy and fatherless. Princess Adeyinka previously served as a senior special assistant on CSR, PPP and MDG to the Amuwa Dauphin local government chairman. She's passionate about business designs and advancement leading to sustainable growth and development for African women. She continues to build and mentor girls and women across the Nigerian business ecosystem. She's married with an intelligent son. She loves to travel, cook and meet new people. Future of African women, we are here to stay. We're here to transform our continent. I believe that empowered women empower other women. Most important, women who have found their voice must speak up and speak out for women who are yet to find theirs. There is no doubt assisting women to focus and learn about financial literacy and the use of digital technology will undoubtedly create wealth, economic sustainability, whilst fostering social development for now and future. Even at Happy Coffee, one of our brand's missions is to assist our female farmers and women start their own businesses, which will position them to support their communities. It is imperative to pay it forward. Princess Adeyinka, she is an African woman. Princess, welcome to the show.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for this wonderful, wonderful opportunity.
You are so, so welcome. You're doing a phenomenal thing. I'm looking at your bio and I just realized that the photo on it is a picture of a coffee cup with your picture on the coffee cup. I just thought it was some beautiful artwork. And I just looked at it and I was like, why not? This is a coffee cup. That is so cool.
Yeah. It was a friend of mine. He made that cup for my 40th birthday a couple of years ago, not 5 years ago. So he made it as a gift. He's an artist, the creative director. So that was my 40th birthday present.
That is beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. So tell us, I was trying to remember just while I was promoting the program before we came on air, that I think you did mention that there are 16 states in Nigeria. Is it 16 that grow coffee?
15, actually.
15. Ah, I wasn't that far off. You see, my brain is still working. 15. Yeah. But how many can actually grow coffee?
No, those 15 are growing.
Yes, I know. I know. But there's a potential for more.
22. Mm. Yeah, 22.
Can you imagine? Can grow,
including Lagos.
As in, you're kidding me? Plus Lagos states?
No, I'm not. Including Lagos. As a matter of fact, all the south and southwest states, except for Lagos, are growing coffee at the moment.
Wow.
Yes.
And this is us that we say we have no data. How did you go about finding this data? How did you go about finding this information?
I think I'm a good student of the good book, the Bible, and it says if you seek something, you will find it. Mm. For years now, I've done a lot of work in terms of research, understanding the Nigerian coffee value chain and landscape, And that led me into many doors. And I think, so that's the first thing, because I'm always willing to learn. So I'm always looking for information. So when you seek something, you will find it. And that's how I came in contact with that, the National Association for Coffee Farmers in Nigeria, which I'm also an executive officer as we speak now, because we are also looking into going into like a forward integration process where we own our farms in the future. But because we look, because one of my desires is to see the development of the Nigerian coffee sector, it has allowed for many doors to open. So, and that's how I found out. So all this information we have with the coffee farmers.
Imagine that they even have an organization. It's amazing.
Yes, we do.
It's amazing the things that you find out. I mean, the other day I was looking at somebody's WhatsApp stories and I found out that female carpenters have an organization. And I'm like, how is it that we have all this? And sometimes we don't know until somebody who is not expected to do these things gets into this place. And then it now becomes common knowledge. And I'm like, why is this? Why don't we have this information at our fingertips? Why isn't it the kind of information we're searching for on the internet? It's amazing.
It's amazing. And I also think it's because that's the ingenuity of many entrepreneurs and the landscape and the ecosystem that it's building as we speak. You know, gone are those days where everything worked from the coffers of the government and even the private sector. Now you see much more advancement in a lot of industry in Nigeria from just budding entrepreneurs, because we realize that some of us who got into some spaces like, so let me speak for myself. When I got into coffee, there was barely a framework. There was barely a roadmap. There was almost a non-existent or coherent value chain. So until we got in the space and started promoting Nigerian coffee, creating awareness around it, and then we've in 2019, we had the first ever Lagos Coffee Festival to speak to stakeholders on how to develop. Nothing was being done. People were just, you know, we just drink coffee. Now, let me shock you that 95% or even more of what we drink in coffee in Nigeria is actually imported into our country by non-coffee growing countries. China is the highest importer of coffee into our country, but yet China doesn't grow coffee. So, and then we have 15 states that can grow coffee. So there's a lot of lopsidedness in a lot of industry. And that was why when we started the business, initially we just wanted to be, you know, coffee retailers of Nigerian coffee. That means supporting local consumption. Yes. But by the time it was 2 years in, we realized that this is an opportunity for us to champion the development of the sector, not just our business, but generally look at how we can foster growth in that sector, you know, tackle social inclusion projects like, you know, youth employment, agricultural advancement, tech into coffee. So there are lots of opportunities for us. And we decided, you know what, we're going to champion this. We're going to be an ardent advocate of the Nigerian coffee value chain. And that's what we've been doing for the past 5 years.
Wow. I mean, those are really big dreams. And I see those dreams coming to fruition every year. There's something that you seem to hit a milestone and then you go higher than that. And I think it is absolutely for something as simple as coffee. And this is a thing, they're quite, especially I was born in the north. So I know that there were a lot of meshais and I know it's not only tea that they were drinking. So this is a culture that we have. So it's not like we're imbibing a foreign culture. I mean, how much better for us to just know that the coffee actually comes from our country. And we're empowering some other people. How did your journey into coffee start?
Oh, wow. I wish if I got a dollar for that question, I'm sure by now I'll have probably raised all the funds and investment that we need, and which is great. And I like the question because I know that, to be honest with you, when I got into the business, I didn't realize that it was a business where or a sector or even an industry where we were very few.
Yes.
I didn't realize, I just got into it because when I was back in college in America, I'd read a book called Pour Your Heart Into It.
Yes.
It's a story of how Howard Schultz started Starbucks.
Yes.
And Starbucks is probably the biggest coffee company in the world.
Yes.
And I was super intrigued. I loved coffee, but I also like how he developed the model, how he changed the popular culture around coffee in America that literally transformed what we now know as the cafe culture around the world today, where people are able to go out and drink a cup of coffee. And so that kind of brings me back to, you know, people say, oh, do Nigerians drink coffee? And you're right. If you look at the Mesha, if you look at our home, there's a semblance of coffee at our office space. So that is what we have. We have a culture. And that was how the American culture was before Starbucks came into the game. People drank coffee at home or at work, and that is prevalent in Nigeria. However, what Howard Schultz did was he took coffee into a third space where they created these areas where people could come, you know, congregate, have social networking, and still have a great cup of coffee. So that was how he revolutionized what we know as cafe culture today. Yeah. But for Nigeria, we are in the third space. Because our third space already exists. You know, people already have places where they congregate. So what we're trying to do is include coffee into that space by taking coffee just from being a morning drink to an entire 24-hour drink. And most importantly, busting all the myths around the coffee. And I'm sure we'll talk about more of that as we go on the interview.
So I was going to, I actually have your Instagram page open in front of me. And on the first three frames, aside from the delightful mornings and the croissant that is staring down my face, I'm seeing, I'm seeing Tony Elumelu, and I'm seeing the, it was Rwanda prime minister that you, that came to visit your, one of your outlets recently.
Yes. You have said, the ambassador, actually.
The ambassador. Okay. You have said that this has opened doors for you. I remember watching the when you met Macron, and I thought to myself, this is a lady that I want to know. Because I, Nigerians do not typically stand up and ask questions, especially when it's not like as if they've been picked before. So for you to stand up and already also you were holding your brand, I was thinking, who is this woman? Who does that? But it opened that door for you right there and then.
Yeah.
How did that, how did you feel in that moment?
To be honest, anyone who knows me knows that I'm very passionate about anything that I set my heart to do.
Yes.
Because I believe you only have one chance to make one impression.
True.
And I also believe we're on a journey, and on that journey, there'll be high points, there'll be low points, but most importantly, there'll be opportunities for you to declare and show forth exactly what you're doing. So for me, every time you meet me, I have coffee in my bag, whether it's coffee beans, whether it's a pack of our coffee, I mean, in my car, I mean, I can make you a cup of coffee. Now, when I met President Macron, I remember going, I'm also at the Elumelu Foundation, and I always like to say this, 4 years ago, Mr. Elumelu had this idea and dream to support and empower entrepreneurs across Africa with seed capital. And it's very key and very important because the truth is, even if you have an amazing idea, you still need some semblance of capital to get that business or idea going. So in 2015, I just left paid employment. I was trying to decide. Then I just was newly married. I was trying to decide whether or not to go back to corporate Nigeria because I'd moved back to Nigeria. I'd done some work. I'd even worked with the local government at a point for about a year and a half, supporting local development and also understanding grassroots politics because I have political ambition. So,
we are going to
stayed on track. So the Tony Elumelu Foundation opened up the application for the first time in Africa, saying they wanted to empower 10,000 entrepreneurs in 2015 with seed capital of $5,000. And I, you know what I said, this would be a fantastic opportunity. I sat and I always tell people, you see the internet, I tell people that after God is literally the internet. The amount of information that is available to you, it's unfounded, like it's unprecedented. Went to the internet, applied for the foundation. I think 2 months later, I got a message saying I was selected amongst the first 1,000 Africans to receive this grant. And the grant was a seed capital. And what I wanted to do was to create a coffee brand.
Yes.
And I got awarded $5,000. And I said I wanted to use my $5,000 to research whether or not Nigerians would accept the idea of drinking their coffee fresh instead of drinking processed coffee, which most of us are you know, akin to. Yeah, a lot of people don't. They don't know the difference. And it's fine because I like to say this. Before we all started drinking bottled juice, you know, freshly squeezed orange juice, we were drinking juice out of a box. I remember when we were growing up, juice was out of a box. Yes. You know, other brands would box it, and we were happy until some people said, you know what, no, we can drink. And that has created a billion naira industry where a lot of entrepreneurs have gotten into the space where we have juice companies now springing up everywhere. So it's the same thing with coffee, because we use freshly grown coffee from Nigeria. We roast it and we create different products and services. Mm. So that's literally how I got into the business. So when I won the Tony Lumili Foundation grant, I won as an idea. The company didn't even exist. There was no name. AME. There was literally no name. It was after I got selected. I sat with my husband. I'm like, we need to find a name for this business. And I came up with the name Happy Coffee. I wanted coffee to be in a great space, a liberated experience for Nigerians. And that was my idea at that time. Obviously, the dream is bigger. The vision has expanded because of, obviously there's just so much that needs to be done.
I agree with you. And talking about the Tony Elimeli Foundation, you recently got elected as the head for the Lagos branch, is it?
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, for all the alumni, we have hubs across geopolitical. So for Nigeria, we have across geopolitical spaces. Okay. And then across Africa, the hub lives across wherever the Tony Olumide Foundation has an alumni. Yes, there. So there was an election a couple of weeks ago, and I got nominated, eventually got elected as the head of the Lagos hub.
And I was thinking, and here our political career starts. This is a stepping stone, isn't
it? It's amazing because, so when I got nominated, when I applied and I got nominated, I just thought, okay, oh yeah, right, let's see how this goes. I'm in the 2015 set. The 2015 set did something that till today gives me goose pimples. So they rallied around each other. They formed a campaign office on WhatsApp. They began to call people in our, you know, in the ecosystem, yes. You need to vote for Princess. Literally, people volunteered to vote, to send out SMSs, send out emails. So it wasn't just, okay, people voted. No, people fought. So, and I looked at it. So I remember the day that I got the email that I was elected the head of the lead, hub lead for Lagos. I felt like I won the governor of Lagos state election. Because I told myself, this is how it starts. Literally, people coming together to ensure that, you know, if we have a leader that we believe in, then we should support the leader's agenda to get elected in an office so we can get change or even get progression in what we're doing. It was a fantastic thing to see. And I'm really glad that I'm able to lead the community, you know, even onto greater things, at least for 1 year.
Sometimes I wonder if the year that we pick is not too short a time to see some of the dreams and goals, or rather, let me some of the goals that the leaders set to come forth. I mean, in Nigeria, we're known for not really having a smooth transition and having progression move forward. There's always a stop. So let's use this as an example. How would you try to make sure that there's a smooth, almost a bumpless transition from your administration in this hub to the next one, irrespective of who the person is that takes over?
I think a lot of things. First, I don't see leadership as just a position for generally in Nigeria, when somebody is a leader, it's almost like a boss type of relationship. Yes. I think for me, leadership is about service.
Yes.
You're called to serve. You know, I remember, just side comment with a friend, like, well, you want me to run for this election, but you know it's a lot of work you're putting on me, because I'm one of those people that I take everything very seriously. So for me, it's a privilege, it's an opportunity to serve. It's an opportunity also to impact. So for me, transitioning from my administration to the other has a lot to also do with documentation of the work that we have done.
Exactly.
Very importantly, the work that is being done has to be transparent. It has to be documented. Milestones have to be put in place to help the next administration take over smoothly, and then having meetings where there are enough briefing sessions so that they can see the vision, the bigger vision, because at the end of the day, the Tony Olumide Foundation alumni group has a vision. We're also ambassadors of the organization.
Yes.
So those are the kind of things that I would do, documenting our milestones, ensuring there's a lot of briefing sessions. I'm also looking to work with the other lead hubs on how to effectively communicate all the work and the agenda that we have, and, you know, just stay focused on the vision. And that's how I would transit, you know, help the other government or the other party or administration take over.
Okay, so let's go back to coffee now.
Yes.
Nigeria is said to have a lot of limitations, and some of them are true. Some of them, with just a little bit of thinking, strategic thinking and planning, they can be overcome with the easiest move of flicking a finger. How has that affected your coffee business in terms of from getting from the farmer to you? Because that is not as simple a logistic as we make it to seem. How has that affected your business, and how has that propelled you to find solutions to make it? Because development is obviously a very big part of your strategy. How has that affected you and propelled you to move forward with technology?
Yes. So I like to start from our story, and this also helps people who are also in business. I believe in small steps.
Yes.
And the reason for small step is you are able to take note of how things evolved. Like I rightly said, when I joined this business or started this business, I didn't realize that I wasn't like in a business like fashion, or, you know, there were no roadmaps. So, and I also remember telling myself that if I do this right, we can actually have an emergence of micro coffee entrepreneurs across Nigeria and across Africa.
Which is starting to happen.
Yes. So people are coming into the business quietly, one by one, two by two. So quickly, I had to reevaluate exactly what the vision of our company is. Mm. Now, when I got into the business, I wanted to start. I started as a retailer. Yes. So my idea then was take coffee. When I find the coffee, take it and create value add, add value to a coffee shop.
Yes.
So, yes. Obviously, I only had $5,000. And I always tell people, sometimes not having money is great. You know why? You are able to be more creative. Like,
yes,
you dig deep.
Yes.
You are able to find innovative solutions around limited resources. And that was what happened to me until the business is where it is now, that we have team members and we are now we, no more I. So with little funding, what we did was to evaluate, okay, this is the amount of fund we have. How are we be able to come up, you know, get our products and services? Because at the time I started, I think 6-7 months along the line, I found a lady who had already been working with Nigerian coffee farmers and was roasting coffee in Lagos.
Oh, wow.
So I had a group. Yes. And like I said, if you seek for something hard enough, you will find it. And that was what happened. I found her. We sat down and I shared my vision. You know, Nigeria, we don't like sharing our story, our vision. We say, village people are going to take it. Somebody's going to buy your idea. Or somebody's going to... You see, I'm one of those people that believes that I can teach you everything I know about coffee, but I'm telling you that you will not be able to sell coffee the way that I sell it. Mm-hmm. Every human person has something that is definite about their personality, about their character. And that character is what puts the DNA in your business. So for me, I can teach you everything that I know, but I cannot teach you my personality.
Exactly.
So the way that I'll carry my business, you cannot carry it that way. So I'm one of those people that I'm willing to always share. You know, people are like, oh, we have trade secrets. I'm not going to, you know, sit down and say, oh, we do have trade secrets. But when it comes to, you know, explaining to you, if you wanted to start your business now, I will help you start a business in coffee with little on, you know, for what somebody might charge you $1 million for. I'll charge you 50K. I'll still teach you all the tricks of the trade.
Yeah.
It's not late for you to now take that business and make and run it how you want to run with it, because we're never all going to run the same race regardless. So, and that's literally how we started the business. So we started sourcing our coffee from farmers through an existing roaster in Lagos.
Yes.
But however, we're forward integrating this year to now directly taking our coffee from farmers that we can process ourselves, because we realize that it's very important and critical for our sustainability to take this step. So, and that's how we've been building. So we started from an idea. So our first innovative step in creating awareness around Nigerian coffee was to start going to parties to serve coffee,
yes.
like an Owambe.
Yes.
We will go. And the reason why was we created a line of coffee that one akin to the taste and the palate of an average Nigerian. Like I always say, if jollof rice is not burnt, it's not jollof rice. So when if the coffee is not sweet and creamy, Nigerians won't take it. So what we did was we sat down and created drinks, you know, hot and cold, some even with Irish cream, just create a line of drinks that everybody would have something in that spectrum that they can take, but it's still Nigerian coffee. And that's how we literally have started, to the point that now we have 10 products that people can buy from, whether you are at home, whether you are at work, you are you're at a party, it's in the evening, whatever time you are able to take coffee.
That's amazing. 10 products from one
yes.
bean. Wow.
Yeah, from one bean.
Wow. Wow.
Yes.
I see that you've also started start your own coffee business. And that is part of your adding to social empowerment, so to speak.
Yeah.
So if yeah. I wanted to start my own coffee business, roughly speaking, can you give us an idea of what it is that you would be offering me?
So one of the things that a lot of people, when it comes to the coffee business, they're very basic things. One, you need to understand what coffee is.
Yes.
Once you understand what coffee is, you are able to serve it in a better way. Most times Nigerians have only had the opportunity to buy one sachet of coffee, pour it in a cup, and that's it.
Yes.
No experience around it. It's for you. It's just coffee. That also has created a lot of myth around coffee. But that hasn't stopped the development. Because if you look at the basic coffee statistics that we have in Nigeria, in terms of drinkers, we have over 15 million Nigerians who drink coffee every day.
Imagine that.
Every single day. In as much as that number is high, but every single day, Nigerians drink coffee, whether at home, whether on the street, whether in the big highbrow offices, people are drinking coffee. The question is what experience they're getting a healthy and an amazing cup of coffee. Because I tell people, everybody deserves to have a great cup of coffee. And so that's what we're going to teach you, the basic knowledge around coffee, so that when you finally prepare a cup of coffee for either your customer, I mean, we've opened this line of business to people who already serve coffee, so food business owners or vendors who already have coffee, because every day we meet people saying, oh, I don't want dead coffee, I want a better cup of coffee. So we can help you improve the outlook and the value you add to your customer by giving them a great cup of coffee. So we will teach you the tricks of the trade. We know what the customers are looking for. We know how people want their coffee. That's what we will teach you. We'll teach you how to use freshly roasted coffee for all of your drinks, which is a better tasting coffee, much healthier and healthier option because it's not processed.
Okay.
So we teach you that. We teach you how to make coffee, whether hot or cold, so that you can add that knowledge to your value proposition as either a food vendor or somebody who wants to start a coffee business, alongside what they do, or just, you know, literally just that.
I also know that you're big on collaboration. So, I mean, you have said as much that you have no challenges with sharing information and helping somebody along. So, for instance, with your, at least the first two partners that I know that you had, or collaborative partners that I know that you had, how did you guys come together to work this out? This is something that I personally have tried to do over the years. I think I've been shouting collaboration for like 10 years, and people look at me like I said I'm speaking Greek. And then when you try it with somebody, you know, that person's idea of a collaboration is, I'm going to go there and I'm going to outsmart you. And I'm like, what is wrong with you people? This is not how it's working. It does not work like this, you know? I mean, okay, so you outsmart me today, okay? And then what? What's your game? So how were you guys, and I know that you guys still work together. How did you guys come together? What brought the three of you together in the first place? And what brought this idea?
When I think of business, you know, what I've also realized is perception and understanding of what you do is very critical. if you have deep understanding of what you're doing, then you realize that what you're doing is a platform. For me, Happy Coffee is a platform. We've been able, you know, by God's grace, to create a platform that many other things can spring
up from.
So, for example, when I look at partnerships, even if you were in the same game as I was, like, meaning that you were in coffee.
Yes.
I mean, I've helped people start their coffee businesses from scratch.
Yes.
This is something that I had nobody holding my hands. When I started this business years ago, nobody held my hand. Sure. Nobody thought. Everything that I know about this business, I learned on my own. Nobody taught me how to do it, but I have taught other people. I'm willing to teach more people. I have a mentee in Cameroon, in a program that I'm mentoring her, and she was like, she wants to learn coffee. I said, I will teach you for free. I want you to succeed. Mm. I want you to make something out of who you are, and I'm going to teach you for free. So for me, when I collaborate, I realize I understand deeply that my business is a platform that many other things can spring from. So you will never be a competitor to me. And that was how we're able to successfully convene a Lagos Coffee Festival, having other Lagos brand owners support the same thing that we're doing. Mm-hmm. Because I'm one person. I know all the coffee owners in Lagos. Across Nigeria, I know many coffee makers. I make it a point of duty to be friends with them because I believe that each and every one of us are creating value within the value chain, and it has to be respected. We are all competitors in terms of we are probably competing for, you know, maybe the same customer. But however, I respect what they're doing. They're creating platforms. So I make it a point of duty. I'm probably the only coffee owner or brand owner that puts other coffee brands on my Instagram page. When I visit their shops, I take a picture of their coffee brand and I put it on my Instagram page because I support what they do. Mm. Because they are doing work that people didn't do 10 years ago.
Exactly.
So I support that. So for me, collaboration is beyond competition.
Looking to catch up on Nigeria news you may have missed during the week, or you need a refresher? Join the team of Weekend Nigeria, Top Star and Ayemi Olivia on Spirit of Nigeria Radio, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. every Saturday as we deliver news, reviews, interviews, tidbits, music, and so much more. Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians and diaspora up to speed.
Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
That is heartwarming to hear. And I truly hope that you can pass that along with those that you mentor and those that start business, those that you help to start their businesses, that it's not only money in the bank. It's more the relationships that you build along the way, because those relationships will sustain the business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Once somebody goes away satisfied, that's the best advert you could ever get, because they will spread that news so fast that you'll be like, what's going on here? So let's talk about your political ambition. You didn't think I was not going to touch that one now, did you? So what put that in your mind first and foremost, and why?
See, I really can't even tell exactly when all of this started, like, you know, but I know as far as young as when I was a teenager, I've always said that I wanted to, you know, be in a political, you know, office.
Yes.
It's just an impression that I have. And I asked a friend about 2 weeks ago, I said, you know, a lot of people, how many people that do you know that is female ever told you they want to become president? He said, you're the only one. I said, does that not tell you something? And I've always, too, as I grew up, I remember when I first went to America as a young Nigerian student, I went there by myself, no mommy, no daddy. And, you know, people would tell me, don't worry, by the time you spend 4 years in America, you will not want to go back to Nigeria. So, do you know that the more time I spent, every year would pass, the more determination to go back to Nigeria. So to the point that I graduated from college May 2009, I was back in Nigeria before August.
Oh my word.
Now that coming,
Yes, that coming back, I had no money. Remember, I just graduated from college. Yes. I had no job, no money. I didn't even have money to ship my things. I didn't even have money for, like, I only had enough money to buy a one-way ticket. And you know, one-way tickets are far more expensive than a return ticket. Yes. I only had enough money to buy a one-way ticket. I bought a one-way ticket because I knew I wasn't coming back to America. I took a one-way trip to Nigeria. The guy said, this money can only get you to Abuja. I said, get me to Sokoto. As long as I'm within the coffers of Nigeria, I know my way home. I know where my house is in Lagos. I know where my parents lived. So for me, the urge and the determination to lead the highest office of our country is, it's almost like, I don't know how to say it. It's just there in my heart. I don't know who put it there. It has to be God. I won't say who, but I believe God put it in my heart. And that's how it is. And when I look at how my life is evolving, it makes a lot of sense now. Even the kind of people that I meet every day, being in an ecosystem where there are a lot of business leaders, because this is the future.
It is.
Because maybe when I'm running for election, these are the people who create the campaign office. These are the people that will form my cabinet, because we've worked together. We've dealt in business together. And so it's becoming more clearer. This idea this idea in my heart that I will be running for the highest office of the land when that time comes. And you see, women like Kamala Harris have opened those doors to us, continually showing us that women can break those ceilings and those boundaries once you put your heart to it.
In fact, you know, just to buttress that, earlier on today, I saw on one of these various WhatsApp groups that we all are on, there was a photo of four women, and it said, I need to find it, and it said something about, these are the kind of pictures that should be making the rounds to show women that they can actually attain to higher things, instead of showing photos of women in half-naked postures and stuff. Okay, so here it is. So it says, food for thought. Show this to your daughters. There's Ibukun Awosika. She's the chairman, First Bank of Nigeria. I remember being on a Zoom call with her, and somebody asked her, why didn't you ask them to change the title of the office? And she said, why do we women get hung up on things that are inconsequential? She said, It is obvious when I walk into a room that I'm a woman. Is it not? She said, yes. She said, the office, the title of the office is chairman. She said, what difference does it make whether they change it or they do not change it? They didn't pick me, knowing that I was a woman, to come and change the name. They picked me to come and do the job. Focus on your focus. I thought, thank you, Lord God Almighty. God bless this woman. So there's her.
Yeah.
There's Osareti Demure, who's the chairman of GT Bank. I didn't even know that the chairman of GT Bank was female. That's to show you how her. Then there's Adeyinka Igbinoba. She's the chairman of AIG Media Pro. And there's Mosun Belos Olusoga, who is also the chairman of Access Bank. And they said, young girls should see more of this and less of naked women, so they know the true meaning of slaying. Now, I don't like the word slaying, but let's just leave that. And I thought to myself, it's not only young women. It's young men. It's old men. It's old women. It's everybody. Should see that women are, we get to where we need to get to, irrespective of whatever the preconceptions are or the hindrances are or the, and women have been doing this for centuries. It's not today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I had a discussion with Royal Majesty, and we're talking about women across, we're looking at Nigerian women back in, you know, the early 18th century, 19th century, talking about women like Efun Shito, talking about women like Queen Amina, women who led wars, women who had always been in the forefront of commerce. You know, so this idea as though women are just evolving today
It's such
a demeaning to what women have done.
Honestly.
Women were heads of commerce. You know, in the old Nigeria, women had been doing so much. So this idea that we're just evolving, it's kind of a disservice to what women are able to do.
it's just a generation of women were more of homemakers, like our mothers.
Yes.
Didn't mean that a lot of them couldn't have been industrial leaders.
Exactly.
Of, you know, great, great industrial revolution. So that's why now it looks as though women are doing so much, but women have always been doing so much. The advent of technology and social media have just brought to light a lot of the work and, you know, the agenda for women growth and development. But we shouldn't be put in a box. Women are able to lead, we're able to lead our homes, we're able to integrate our family and still be able to build, like someone said, it's somebody who married Kamala Harris, somebody married Mrs. Okonjo-Iweala. So these things, I think a lot of misperception or conception also has to do with social media, but, and that's why you have to be careful on the information that you pick. And then people need to do a lot of more dig-dipping, they have to dig deep on in understanding situation. Never look at things just from, even myself. I didn't join coffee because I wanted to be the first woman that would do this. I didn't know going into that industry was going to make me, or maybe the first woman who had an indigenous franchise across Nigeria. That was not my focus. But if it's going to be what it is, then fine. But I didn't go into the business because I was a woman and I wanted to show them that women can do. As a matter of fact, for the first couple of years, people thought the owner of the brand was actually a man because they couldn't understand. Because the kind of DMs I used to get, I'd be like, one day I had to tell myself, I need to start putting my face out there. I'm not a man, no. I'm just a woman. My gender assignment is female. Do you understand? My gender assignment is female. So, I mean, being a woman, so I remember a customer said, I thought this brand was owned by a man, but the way you do your packaging, as he said, maybe his wife is the one that does the branding because the packaging is too proper. And then he saw me, he was like, oh my God, you're actually female. I'm like, yes, it's female. So the idea of don't undermine what women are able to do. For me, I'm Nigerian first before being female. So whatever I do as in Happy Coffee is part of the nation building process. Coming back to Nigeria, you know, there's this, I don't know if you've seen this challenge going around, how people were the day they left Nigeria and how they are today. I did a reverse. The day I came to Nigeria, back from America, and how I am today, you know, different, reversing the trend. I'm pro-Nigeria. I'm not going to fault anybody for wanting to leave because I'm not going to tell you being a bed of roses coming back. But I tell you that whatever I do today is part of the nation building process. When decades will pass, if the Lord tarries, you will see the work that we have done and how it has affected positive change and influence for many young Nigerians coming behind us.
And I think we also have to change the narrative. I mean, we're so focused on building the woman that we forget that the man is part of her process. And if the man is not built, then it doesn't matter how well built the woman is. She's going to get to some point, or they're going to get to some point in her life, and she's going to realize that, you know what, I can't do this with this guy because we're no longer on the same path. And if we don't fix that, or we don't also focus in on that and know that we need to bring both the male and the female up to the same sort of understanding.
Absolutely.
How they choose to go is fine, but they have to be on the same level playing field. They have to understand the same things, the importance of what they each bring to the table.
Absolutely. And it has to do with also a lot of nurturing. I think when it comes to, you know, relationships or, you know, even raising children, whether female children or male children, I think a lot of things also have, you know, been, you know, a little bit warped just because of the way men or male children are being brought up in our society, obviously because of culture.
Yes.
So there are lots of issues. However, if a man meets like a Kamala Harris on her way, and then suddenly you begin to hamper her progress, I do have a problem with that.
Yes.
Not every woman wants to be president. Not every woman wants to, you know, lead in ways that are, I mean, because I remember going for a political meeting one day, and then one Senate, I can't even remember if it was a son or somebody, but he said, oh, can women go for all-night meetings? I could see all the women rolling their eyes like, sir, exactly what are you saying? We already spend our nights praying anyway for you men. we can as well be up all making decisions exactly. for our country. So how can you say because I'm female and I'm married, I can't go for a night meeting? How does that even make, must we even make the decisions at night?
Exactly.
This idea that decisions are made at night, it's just part of, you know, the cultural appropriations that we make and, you know, create all these insensitive barriers that stop either one gender from doing. I mean, I have a son and he's 4. I teach him very simple things about love and empathy. Whether the person is male or female, so you must have empathy. Yes. You must have compassion. So this has not, there's some things that has nothing to do with gender.
I agree.
Okay. So it's every day. We have to teach each other.
We do. We honestly do. Talking about women and choices and doing stuff and bringing up, et cetera, et cetera. International Women's Day is going to be celebrated worldwide on Monday. And the theme is choose to challenge, Abby. And when I saw it, I thought in my mind, what came to mind was women have been doing phenomenal things for years.
Absolutely.
If you choose, and just look at, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago that I realized that there's so many countries that are being led by women. I didn't know that it had gotten to that number. When I was looking at the list, as in my mouth was just dropping, I was like, ha, 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 ha.
Really?
And I'm like, even in Africa, where we thought it would never happen. I mean, look at Celine M.M. Johnson. How many years ago was she president of Liberia? So truly, this idea that women are just getting to the place of doing things. I was thinking on my way to work this morning, I was like, think about people like, what's her name now? Bola Kufuruji Olubi. When she was reigning in the corporate world, I mean, there weren't many like her, but she was there. Nobody pushed her away because her brain was working. There was Koforola Prasa, became the first nurse. There was Fela's mother, Sif. In those years.
Yes, many women.
Honestly.
Many women who have done amazing, who keep. So the idea that, it is what it is.
But when
you look at choosing challenging, we have to challenge each other for greatness.
I agree.
We have to challenge each other for genuine support. The truth is, there are women who have no voice.
Yes.
You know, I'm one of those women leaders who believe that we are the voice for other women who naturally wouldn't have a voice.
True.
So every time I get the opportunity to speak my story, I remember the many more women that I can support. You know, my little ways I support women, whether it's making a call, whether it's financially, in my little way, I'm able to support you if you come for me for help. You know, I tell people the reason why I'm super helpful was it took me 12 years to get my bachelor's degree.
Wow.
12 years.
Wow.
I started from UNILAG. I didn't graduate my first degree to 2009, and I'd entered in 1997 because I left UNILAG, went to America, went to 4 other schools, you know, finding my way. And I believe that if somebody had just shown me the way early enough, I didn't have to spend 12 years just because if somebody had given me adequate information at the right time. So for me, I'm like a gateway.
Yes.
If you come to me, except that I don't have the information, I might even know somebody that has
that
it. And I'm always pointing people to, yes. So I'm always willing to help. I'm always willing to share information, even if it's at my own detriment, which I know I can never be disadvantaged.
Exactly.
So I can never, how much can you take from an ocean? Whatever I'm dealing with right now, whether challenges or what, it's just for me, it's just to refine who I am as a person. Because challenges refine you, you know. And I'm from the school of thought that challenges are bread. It's an opportunity for you to innovate, you know. So at the end of the day, we need to understand that we need to challenge each other. Women need to support one another, especially for women in Nigeria and in Africa, where we have a lot of barriers against us. Mm. Not, you know, maybe not intentionally, but that's the way it is. We have social barriers. We have cultural barriers. There are still laws that say women can't hold property.
True.
There are still laws that don't make wives next of kin to their husbands. So when you meet women like that, you must encourage them that we can do this for our sake, for our family, for our nation. I add nation to it all the time because we're building for the nation that we have now and the nation that we want to see in the future.
I agree with you. And that is a good note on which to end our interview, because Nigeria is truly an amazing nation. And with people like you in it, I mean, it just gets better. If we're all willing to open up our minds and understand that we can choose to challenge each other to greatness, we can choose to challenge, if we are both sad about something, we can sit down and support each other in the sadness and then dust ourselves off and say, oh, yeah, let's go to Open Hand. We are finished being sad. Let's just move. Oh, yeah, what's next?
I've had women cry with me. Like, you know, forget, yes, women were emotional. That's the way we were created.
Yes.
I've had women cry with me. I mean, I'll share stories and I've had women hold my hand. Literally, we will cry together. When we're done, we'll clean our eyes, we'll hug each other. I've had women take me for dinner. You know what? I'm taking you for dinner. And go and have a massage. That is what we should do for one another. There are times that just even a simple phone call goes a long way.
It does. It does. We do need to learn to support each other more and not give pay lip service to this anymore. It's imperative for each and everyone, especially with mental well-being being coming more to the fore now. I mean, it's amazing how life just can throw you a curveball, and sometimes you're standing there all by yourself and thinking, ah, where do I go from here? All right, so let me, I want us to end on a happy note, even though there's nothing wrong with what we just ended. So tell me, what's your best food, your favorite food?
I like, to be honest, I really love sandwiches.
Are you kidding me?
I like amala, but I love sandwiches. I like amala, hear me right, but I love sandwiches. It's something that I would, I mean, I would eat at any, like, if you offered me a sandwich, probability of me saying no is zero.
Oh, wow.
Like, zero.
Wow.
If you offer me amala and I still hesitate, if you offer me a sandwich, I would literally take it. I love sandwiches.
I shouldn't dare and ask you what your best drink is now, should I?
My best what?
Drink. That would be a moot point. What do you do to relax?
What do I do to relax? Yes. To be honest, being an entrepreneur has literally just changed my entire DNA. I don't even know what to do to relax. I think the only thing we do to relax right now is sleep.
Mm.
And I'm learning more to take care of myself. Over the years, I realized that I put myself on the back burner, and that has affected me, even my health, to a point.
Mm.
So I've told myself the things that I need to do more to relax. I'm not really a movie person. I'm not one of those people that can watch Netflix.
Okay.
Or if I'm relaxed, I'm probably on my phone browsing. That's my own way of relaxing.
Mm.
But I have to be more intentional. Like you said, you mentioned mental health.
Yes.
So we have to find a way of relaxing. So I'm hoping even today I'm going. And then a couple of my friends who are girls that have businesses, what we do is Thursdays, we find out time to hang out with each other.
Oh.
Where we're not talking about our husbands. We're not talking about our children.
Mm.
We are just eating and laughing and just taking time out to just, you know, recuperate and all of that.
Mm.
So those are things that I'm learning to do now.
That's great. That's great. And on that note, we bid you a great afternoon. We want to thank you for spending this last hour with us. The time always flies so fast. I'm always looking at the time. I looked at the time and it was 1:11 and I said, I still have time. I looked at the time and it was 1:28. I said, Jesus, the time is over.
Thank you,
Princess.
Thank you so much.
I'm so grateful. And I wish you all the best, God's best to you and yours. I pray that as you continue to open your heart, that He will continue to give you more and more grace to lift others with you and build the nation that you see in your mind's eye and the industry that will continue to give us growth in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday and God bless
you.
Thank you.
And my love to everybody.
Thank you. All right. So that's it for our interview segment today. Oh, wasn't that a breath of fresh air? Yes. I mean, so I'm probably going to be drinking a bit more coffee now. I love the smell of coffee. So maybe I would incorporate it in my cooking. The mind boggles. All right. So don't go away. That's the interview segment. We're talking to Princess Adeyinka Tekena of Happy Coffee Nigeria. And like I saw on one of the headlines, Nigeria's a copycat of Starbucks. 5 years and she's still going strong. And truly, She's helping to improve the coffee industry in Nigeria. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Spirit of Nigeria Radio, Weekend Nigeria, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.